Kimberly Rogers Brown. The Messianic Message is proud to present this teaching by Yaakov Antormerwi. I hope that you enjoy this teaching.
Jeremiah Study, Part 2, Lesson 4, Jeremiah and the Last Kings of Israel. The Book of the Covenant and the Book of the Law, presented by Yaakov Antormerwi, the Tabernacle of David restored in Edom. Let's read Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 13 again. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, for precept must be on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little. For, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they were not willing to hear, but the word of Jehovah was to them precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Last week we ended with King Josiah hearing the words of the book of the Torah. This would have been the time that Jeremiah and Zephaniah brought their prophecies about the coming destruction on Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Zephaniah also brought prophecy about the destruction on the enemies of Yahweh. The prophet Nahum was bringing prophecy on the destruction of Nineveh. During the time of King Josiah, Egypt and Babylon were still making war against the now declining Assyria. This is of significance because during the time of King Ahaz, Assyria came to the rescue of Judah when the Syrian-Israeli alliance threatened to remove the line of David from the throne in Jerusalem. So, the message to the house of Judah was that those in whom they trusted in the past will not be there this time. We will also learn later about the prophecies against Egypt and that the trust that Judah have for Egypt to assist them will also come to naught. The Book of the Law found. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, reading from verse 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the leader of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Yahweh his Elohim. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of Elohim, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and the remnant of Israel, and all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of Yahweh, and they gave it to the workmen that worked in the house of Yahweh to repair and strengthen the house. Even to the craftsmen and the builders they gave it, to buy hewn stone, and timber, and couplings, and to floor the house that the king of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers were Yahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam, the sons of the Kohathites, to oversee, and others of the Levites, all that were skilled with instruments of music. Also they who oversaw the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all those that did work in any manner of service, and of the Levites there were scribes and officers and gatekeepers. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of Yahweh, Hilkiah the priest found a scroll of the Torah of Yahweh given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the shofar, I have found the scroll of the Torah in the house of Yahweh. And Hilkiah delivered the scroll to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the scroll to the king, and brought the king the word back again, saying, all that was committed to your service, they did it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of Yahweh, and have delivered it into the hands of the overseers, and to the hands of the workmen. Then Shaphan the shofar told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a scroll. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the Torah, that he tore his clothes. And the king committed Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the shofar, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of Yahweh for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the scroll that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the words of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this scroll. King Josiah was positive and motivated to walk in the ways of David his father. He already went through all of the land of Israel, both of the lands of Ephraim and Judea, and made the people aware of Yahweh once again. He collected tithings for the temple and started the temple repairs, so to re-establish the correct way that Yahweh said that his people should worship him. Everything going great. Jeremiah had a prophecy out calling all Israel back to repentance. The Book of the Covenant. The scroll of the Torah is translated in our English Bibles as the Book of the Law. This title, Book of the Law, is specifically mentioned in the Torah. Torah, in our understanding, is the five books of Moses. This is one of the first things we learned when we started our journey and returned to study from the front of the book. But what does the scripture teach us about the term Torah? Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 24. And it happened when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished. Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, so that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against Jehovah. And how much more after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, so that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt, and turn aside from the way which I commanded you, and evil will happen to you in the latter end of days, because you will do evil in the sight of Jehovah, to provoke him to anger through the works of your hand. The word for law in Hebrew is the word Torah. To translate this word into law, do an insult to it. Because the Torah was the instructions that Yahweh gave us to live by if we want to be partakers of His covenant. Yes, this includes some laws, but these instructions go far beyond the limitations of our understanding of the word law. The concept of Torah includes ordinances, statutes, and commandments, and explain to us how our relationship to Yahweh, and then also how our relationship with our fellow man and woman should look like. Many of these are written in the forms of historical stories, parables, idioms, songs, and even hidden within genealogies. So, what exactly did Josiah read? First of all, we need to understand that there are different sections in the Torah. It is not just one big complete work from beginning to end. Let's have a look at these breaking points in Torah. Why would we want to do that? We need to understand this so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. This will enable us to understand the New Testament writings correctly, so that we do not become guilty of lawlessness, but also not fall into the trap of rabbinicalism. Let's go back to Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19 verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and Jehovah called to him out of the mountain, saying, You shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now, If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a particular treasure to me above all the nations, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which Jehovah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that Jehovah has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people to Yahweh. In Exodus 19, we reach the end of the first part of the promise to Abraham. This promise was made when Abraham was still named Abram and lived in Haran. Let's go back to the beginning of our story with Abram. Genesis 12, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Abram, "Go out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and curse the ones who curses you. And in all you shall all families of the earth be blessed." And Abram departed, even as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gained in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your seed." And he built an altar there to Jehovah, who appeared to him. "And I will make you a great nation." This was an unconditional promise to Abram. Yahweh also told Abram that he will have a descendant that will inherit this land. Remember, Abram was a king and a descendant of Adam. He asked for a son for an inheritance. Yahweh gave him a promise of a son that will inherit the land promised to him. In Genesis 15, Yahweh appeared again to Abram, and Yahweh reassured him of this promise. Genesis 15, verse 2. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, since I am going childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, you have given no seed to me, and behold, one born in my house is my heir." This is now about 10 years after the Genesis 12 event. Verse 4. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, "I am Jehovah that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give you this land to inherit it." Yahweh is now again telling Abraham that from him will come a great nation, and this great nation will come from his own bowels. Also, they shall be as many as the stars of the heaven. Verse 8. And he said, "Lord God, by what shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said to him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took all these to himself, and divided them in the middle, and laid each piece against one another, but he did not divide the birds. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And it happened as the sun was setting, and a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, "You must surely know that your seed shall be a stranger in a land not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also, I will judge that nation whom they shall serve, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, you shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Progressive Revelation. Yahweh gave a little bit more information about his promise to Abraham. Also, this covenant just received a condition to it. This condition is nowhere directly mentioned, but is alluded to at several places. This then also becomes one of the mysteries of Scripture, in which Paul said that if the enemy understood this, he would have never killed Yeshua on the cross. 1 Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. But we speak wisdom among those who are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the rulers of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God has hidden, predetermining it before the world for our glory, which none of the rulers of this world knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Genesis 17 verse 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, greatly so, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed, after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to you and to your seed after you. Verse 8. And I will give the land to you in which you are a stranger, and to your seed after you, and all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, and you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is now 24 years later since Yahweh appeared to Abraham for the first time. More progressive revelation. Rather than a nation, Yahweh is telling Abraham that there will come many nations from him. In the Genesis 17 promise, we have another hidden mystery that is unspoken of, just like we had in Genesis 15. Galatians 3 verse 16. And to Abraham and to his seed the promises were spoken. It does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I say this, a covenant have been ratified by God in Christ, the law, coming into being 430 years after, does not annul the promise so as to abolish it. And this was the covenant of circumcision. This all mentioned in Genesis 12, 15 and 17 are the covenants of promise. First of all, we have a people, then we have a land, but all this does not come together if we do not have a king that walk in all righteousness as Abraham did. The promised seed of Abraham is Yeshua, and is the descendant of Adam and the promised seed in his generations from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to David with the salt covenant. The seed covenant of David is explained to us in the book of Acts in chapter 1-3. I am not going to cover this in this lesson. Let's read the covenant of circumcision, then head back to our story in Exodus, so to determine the breakup between the different sections of the Torah. Genesis 17 verse 9. And God said to Abraham, and you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised among you, every male child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with silver of any stranger who is not of your seed. He that is born in your house, and he that is bought with your silver, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The covenant of the circumcision was connected to the king that was born from the loins of Abraham. This is the second time this was promised. The seed in Genesis 12 could also mean one seed and not many seeds, as Paul said in Galatians 3 verse 16. But this would be a study for another day. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus 19 verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Verse 16. And it happened on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet was exceedingly loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the lower part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was smoking, all of it, because Jehovah came down upon it in fire, and the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and became very strong, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And Jehovah came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Verse 21. And Jehovah said to Moses, go down, command the people, lest they break through to Jehovah to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, who came near to Jehovah, sanctify themselves, lest Jehovah break forth upon them. And Moses said to Jehovah, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you commanded us, saying, set bounds around the mountain, and sanctify it. And Jehovah said to him, away, you go down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to Jehovah, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. So Yahweh started to speak to the children of Abraham, the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments, and as Yahweh was speaking, the people started to back off away from the mountain. Verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of trumpets, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and so that his fear may be before your faces, so that you may not sin. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Moses and Aaron were on the opposite side of the boundary that kept the people away from the mountain. Then Moses moved closer to the dark cloud where Yahweh spoke from. Yahweh gave judgments that supports the Ten Commandments that he spoke to the children of Israel. In Exodus 21 verse 1, the Hebrew word is mishpat, a sentence or formal decree. These were the decrees of how Yahweh wanted his people to live if they were to be in covenant with him. Exodus 24 verse 1. And he said to Moses, come up to Jehovah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and bow yourself afar off. And Moses alone shall come near Jehovah, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Jehovah, and all the judgment, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Jehovah has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of Jehovah, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar below the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of bulls to Jehovah. And Moses took half of the blood, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant, and read it in the ears of the people. And they said, all that Jehovah has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Jehovah has made with you concerning all these words. And Moses went up, and Aaron, and Nabat, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as the essence of the heavens for clearness. And upon the nobles of the sons of Israel he did not lay his hands. Also they saw God, and ate and drank. This is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. It started with a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, and it ended here with the fulfillment when the children of Abraham, the seed that were as many as the stars, became a nation of priests. They agreed to this covenant and they ate and drank. So, for this covenant to take place, we had a couple of elements. First, we had the promise, then proposal, acceptance, blood ratification, then a covenant meal of confirmation. Abraham, up until Moses, all walked in the faith of the promise of the covenant made by Yahweh to Abraham. This will play a very important part in our study of Jeremiah, because the remnant of Israel will walk in a broken covenant, but under the faith of a promise of a new covenant that Yahweh will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The Book of the Law, the Chains in the Priesthood. In Exodus 24 verse 7, we read the words Book of the Covenant, Shefer, Shefra, Berith, in Hebrew. In Exodus 31:26, we read the words Book of the Law, Sefer, Sefra, Torah, in Hebrew. Everything up until here was going great. The people were a nation of priests now, and Yahweh called to Moses to give him the tablets of the covenant, the instructions that went with it, and then additional commandments for this kingdom of priests. Now, take note, the word in Hebrew used for instructions is the word Torah. This word was translated to law in our English. This is then also the beginning of all confusion when we get to the writings of Paul in the New Testament. These instructions were the judgments given to Moses after the Ten Commandments. They support the covenant and cannot be separated from them. So, if we have a priesthood, we need a temple from where they will operate. This was the reason why Yahweh called Moses and Joshua up to the mountain. Exodus 24 verse 12. And Jehovah said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain, and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone, and the law, and commandments which I have written, so that you may teach them. And Moses rose up, and his attendant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, you stay here for us until we come again to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has any matter to do, let him come to them. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of Jehovah abode upon Mount Sinai, and a cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Jehovah was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the sons of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and went up into the mountain, And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. From Exodus chapter 25 to 31, Yahweh explains to Moses the commandments of the tabernacle which the children of Israel would build. The author of the book of Hebrews gave a nice summation of what Yahweh showed Moses on how the tabernacle should look like, and he followed the patterns as the heavenly example. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 4, "For indeed he was on earth. He would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he says, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mountain.'" Hebrews 9 verse 1. "Then truly the first tabernacle had also ordinances of divine service and an earthly sanctuary. For the first tabernacle was prepared, in which was both the lampstand and the table, and the setting of our loaves, which is called holies. And after the second veil was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid all around with gold, in which was the golden pot that had manna, and the Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And over it were the cherubs of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, about which we cannot now speak piece by piece." A tabernacle? But earlier I mentioned the temple. Right. A tabernacle is a temple that can be moved. The first part of the promise to be fulfilled to Abraham's descendants was to be a nation of priests. The second part was still coming, and that would be to inherit the land of promise. In Exodus chapter 28 and 29, we read that Aaron and his sons were chosen as priests. Aaron as the high priest and his sons as priests. One of them would later be the next high priest after Aaron. This position would be indicated by the high priestly garments. Exodus 28 verse 1. "And you shall take to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel, so that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. And you shall clothe Aaron your brother with them, and his sons with him. And you shall anoint them, and you shall consecrate them, and you shall sanctify them, so that they minister to me in a priest's office. And you shall make them linen breeches to cover the naked flesh, from the loins even to the tights they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not bear iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his seeds after him." Of this nation of priests, Aaron and his sons would serve in the matters of the tabernacle, and then also serve the rest of the people of Israel, who would be sanctified by Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle. Exodus 29 verse 43. "And there I will meet with the sons of Israel, and Israel shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I also sanctify both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am Jehovah their God, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am Jehovah their God." John the Baptist would have been a priest serving in the temple of Yahweh. He, just like Jeremiah, was called out to be a prophet instead. As a priest in the temple, those in the kingdom that are considered the least would be more than the priest serving in the tabernacle. Matthew 11 verse 7. "And as they departed, Yeshua began to say to the crowd concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?' Verse 8. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, they who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yeah, I say to you, and one more excellent than a prophet. For this is the one of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those who have been born of women, there has not risen a greater one than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And Yahweh finished the instructions of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 31, and we read the last part of it. Exodus 31 verse 12. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the sons of Israel, saying, Truly you shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, to know that I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Jehovah. Whoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. Now, the next instructions that Yahweh was to give is how this nation of priests will operate. But then something happened, something that changed everything. Everything in Scripture from this point onward will point back to what happened here. Exodus 32 verse 1. And the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. And the people gathered themselves to Aaron, and they said to him, Up, make us gods who shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and read the summation that Moses wrote about the event of the golden calf. Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 13. And Jehovah spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and, behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their names from under heavens, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against Jehovah your God, and had made you a molten calf, and had turned aside quickly out of the way which Jehovah had commanded you. And I took the 2 tablets and threw them out of my hands, and broke them before your eyes. Now the breaking of the tablets indicated a broken covenant. Verse 18. And I fell down before Jehovah as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water, because of all the sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and fury with which Jehovah was angry against you to destroy you. But Jehovah listened to me at that time also. And Jehovah was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, grinding it very small, until it was as small as dust. And I threw the dust of it into the torrent that descended out of the mountain. And at Teberah, and at Massah, and at the groves of lust, you provoked Jehovah to anger. And when Jehovah sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of Jehovah your God, and you did not believe him, nor listened to his voice. The golden calf incident led to an even greater disappointment in our story. When it came time to enter into the land of promise, they had no faith in the promise that Jehovah made Abraham, and they refused to enter the land. You can read about this in Numbers 13 and 14. Verse 24. You have been rebellious against Jehovah from the day that I knew you. And I fell down before Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights, that I had thrown myself down, for Jehovah had said to destroy you. I prayed therefore to Jehovah and said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance which you have redeemed through your greatness, which you have brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look to the stubbornness of this people, nor to the wickedness, nor to their sin. Lest the land from where you bring us out say, because Jehovah was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Verse 29. Yet they are your people and your inheritance which you brought out by your mighty power and by your stretched out arm. Deuteronomy 10 verse 1. At that time Jehovah said to me, cut out two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me into the mountain, and make an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. And I made an ark of acacia wood, and cut out two tablets out of stone like the first, and went up into the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments which Jehovah spoke to you in the mountain out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and Jehovah gave them to me. And I turned myself and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I made, and there they are, as Jehovah commanded me. Verse 6. And the sons of Israel pulled up stakes from Beeroth, of the sons of Jachan, to Mosera. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar his son served in the priest's office in his place. From there they pulled up stakes to Gitgoda, and from Gitgoda to Yotbath, a land of rivers of water brooks. At that time Jehovah separated the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, to stand before Jehovah to minister to him, and to bless in his name until today. Therefore, Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brothers. Jehovah is his inheritance, according as Jehovah your God promised him. The consequence of the golden calf was that Jehovah chose the Levites to serve as the priesthood instead of the sons of Israel. The tabernacle became the inheritance of the Levites. The rest of the Israelites became servants or slaves to the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood. Galatians chapter 4 verse 21. Tell me, those desiring to be under law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one out of a slave woman and one out of the free woman. But indeed, he out of the slave woman has been born according to the flesh, and he out of the free woman through the promise. Which things are being allegorized? For these are the two covenants. One indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth to slavery, which is Hagar. For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is free, who is the mother of us all. Wait, what? The covenant from Mount Sinai is the slave woman? What is Paul speaking about? The Torah makes you a slave? David wrote in the Psalms that the Torah is freedom, and Moses called it our wisdom and understanding. What is the context of the book of Galatians? Galatians 1 verse 13. For you heard my manner of life when I was in Judaism, that I persecuted the church of God with surpassing zeal and ravaged it. And I progressed in Judaism beyond my contemporaries in my race, being much more a zealot of the traditions of my fathers. Galatians 2 verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed to his face because he was to be blamed. For before some came from James, he ate with the nations. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also disassembled with him, so as even Barnabas was led away with their disassembling. But when I saw that they did not walk upright with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all, If you, being a Jew, live as a Gentile and not as a Jew, why do you compel the nations to Judaize? Now, let us go to the book of Hebrews and get a little bit more clarification. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change made in the law also. Because of the transgression of the golden calf, there was a change in the law. The instructions to the priesthood changed. These instructions that changed is explained in the book of Hebrews. David defined the original priesthood in Psalm 110. This is a psalm written about King Messiah and is quoted in several places in the New Testament, including the Gospels and the Book of Acts. Psalm 110 verse 4. Jehovah has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Judaism and Judaizing are all about the Levitical priesthood and the interactions of this priesthood with the commandments of Yahweh, through the traditions of the fathers and not the traditions given by Moses. Changing traditions, that is of the cultures picked up and learned through the ages, and the interactions of Israel and their surrounding nations. The Babylonian captivity played a huge role in the change and adaptation of these traditions. These traditions were recorded in the Mishnah. Why do you think there are two Mishnah volumes out there? A Jerusalem version from before the Babylonian captivity and are from those who stayed in Israel and escaped to Egypt, and the Babylonian Mishnah from those who went into exile to Babylon. Let's read the two verses in the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews 7 verse 11. Therefore, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change made in the law also. In the book of Galatians, Paul explains to us that the promise of the covenant did not go away because of the law that was now added because of transgression of the golden calf. Galatians 3 verse 15. Brothers, I speak according to man. A covenant hath been ratified, even among mankind. No one sets aside or adds to it. And to Abraham and to his seed the promise were spoken. It does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I say this, a covenant having been ratified by God in Christ, the law coming into being 430 years after, does not annul the promise so as to abolish it. The Genesis 12 promise was without any conditions to it. This is explained in the book of Hebrews from chapter 7 onwards. We are not doing a study on the priesthoods, but on the divisions of the Torah, so I am only mentioning this concept to show these divisions. Galatians 3 verse 18. For if the inheritance is of law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by way of promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgression, until the seed should come to those to whom it had been promised, being ordained through angels in the mediator's hand. But the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Because of the golden calf incident, Yahweh had one of two choices. There was a death penalty position in Genesis 15 covenant made about the descendants of Abraham that would be as the stars of the heavens. This is what Moses did after he came down and walked into the golden calf festival. Exodus 32 verse 10. And now leave me alone, so that my wrath may become hot against them, so that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Yahweh was going to kill everyone, but Moses mediated between Yahweh and the people. Exodus 32 verse 11. And Moses prayed to Jehovah his God and said, Jehovah, why does your wrath become hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, He brought them out for harm, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, and be moved to pity as to this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses reminded Yahweh that Abraham and his descendants were not involved with the terms of the covenant when this promise was given. Reading Genesis 15 verse 17. And it happened, the sun went down, and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between these pieces. In the same day Jehovah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, I have given this land to your seed, from the rivers of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. One of those two entities that went between the pieces was Yahweh the Father, and the other one was the promised seed that would come through the descendants of Abraham, the son of Adam. The death penalty position was upon him. Exodus 32 verse 14. And Jehovah repented as to the evil which he spoke of doing to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writings was the writings of God. It was engraved on the tablets. Exodus 32 verse 30. And it happened on the next day, Moses said to the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to Jehovah, perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned to Jehovah and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made themselves gods of gold. And now, will you forgive their sin? And if not, I pray you, blot me out of your book which you have written. And Jehovah said to Moses, Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. And now, go, lead the people to the place of which I spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you, and in the day of my visitation, I will visit their sins upon them. So, now that we identified the seed, let's go back into the book of Galatians. Galatians 3 verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? Let it not be said, for if a law had been given which could have given life, indeed righteousness would have been out of the law. But the scriptures shut up all under sin, so that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Believe in what? Believe in the promise made to Abraham. A nation, a people, and a king. The promised seed that will die because of the golden calf incident. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under law, having been shut up to the faith about to be revealed, so that the law has become a trainer of us until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But faith coming, we are no longer under a trainer. This is the reason why we have to study the book of Jeremiah. We will learn about the failure of the Levitical priesthood and of all Israel that broke this covenant with the law of the Levitical priesthood, and why we read about a new covenant in the book of Jeremiah. A new covenant which is not new, but is according to the promise made to Abraham, and was not done away with because of the Levitical priesthood that failed. Galatians 3 verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There cannot be Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is no male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The book of the law, the Torah. So far, I explained two parts to the Torah. Firstly, we have the covenant of promise. This covenant never changed and never went away according to Galatians chapter 3 and the book of Hebrews. Next, we had the change in the priesthood that resulted into a change in the law. This change is explained in the book of Hebrews. Since I study is between the different sections of the Torah, I will not go into this change, but you can listen to Kimberly's teaching on the order of Melchizedek and the book of Hebrews for more insight into this manner. Let's read 2 Chronicles 34 verse 18 to 21 again. Verse 18. Then Shaphan the shofar told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the Torah, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the shofar, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of Yahweh for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the scroll that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the words of Yahweh to do all as it is written. So, which of these two did King Josiah read? It was not the book of the covenant. This he will read after he restored the temple and did his second reformation through the land of Israel. So, did he read the book with the change in the law? No. Because Josiah was already having the Levites do repairs to the temple so that they can undertake the ordinances of the Levitical priesthood as Yahweh commanded them to do. There is another part to the Torah. It is not one complete work of law as what the rabbis and the church wants us to believe. Since the rabbis do not understand, they keep on making changes, and by this they create their own righteousness, because the righteousness that comes through faith is not within the added law of the change in the priesthood, as the book of Galatians tells us. The church says it is one work, because the rabbi says it is one. The rabbis say that we should keep all of it, including all the alterations that were made to it during the time that it was given by Moses up until today. The church say that we should keep none of it, and all we need is faith in Yeshua, that he died for our sins. More than this they have no idea, and they have gathered doctrines of people trying to explain something that they do not understand. By this, they create their own understanding by spiritualizing most of what they read and base it upon philosophies that does not make sense in the matter of Scripture. Galatians 3 verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you not to obey the truth, to whom before your eyes Jesus Christ was written among you crucified? This only I would learn from you. Do you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it is even in vain? Then he supplying the Spirit to you and working powerful works in you, is it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Therefore, know that those of faith, these are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. Verse 9. So then, those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are out of works of the law, these are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear, for the just shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, but the man who does these things shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone having been hanged on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might be to the nations in Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And this brings us to the third part of the Torah, the blessings and the curses. And this is what we read about in the book of Romans, and in 1 John, and even the rest of the New Testament books regarding sin, and everything connected to what sin is. Romans 2 verse 12. For as many as sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned within law shall be judged through law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Romans 2 verse 26. If then this uncircumcision keep the ordinances of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Romans 3 verse 20. Because by the works of the law, none of all flesh will be justified in sight, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. 1 John 5 verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. These are the words of Moses when he gave the commandments of Yahweh when the covenant was renewed with Israel when they entered into the land of promise. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1. And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you in order to do them, so that you may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah the God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Jehovah did because of Baal Peor. For Jehovah your God has destroyed from among you all the men that followed Baal Peor. And you who held fast to Jehovah your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Jehovah my God commanded me, so that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Verse 6. And you shall keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 1. And it shall be, when all these things have come on you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, and when you shall call them to mind among all the nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and shall return to Jehovah your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul, Then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has scattered you. If you are driven out into the outermost parts of the heavens, Jehovah your God will gather you from there, and he will bring you from there. Verse 5. And Jehovah your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good, and multiply you above your fathers. Deuteronomy 31 verse 24. And it happened when Moses made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, so that it may be there for a witness against you. Everything about Judaism is built around the change in the law and the Levitical priesthood. None of that is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, because of the change in the law that Yahweh had to bring in because of transgression. The principle in the understanding of Judaism is that they can add and change to the law of Yahweh, because the law is not of faith but of works, and they have no concept of righteousness, because righteousness comes through the promised seed Yeshua, our Messiah. And with this understanding of the law of transgression and the blessings and the curses, if it was not for the incident of the golden calf, we would not have a book of Leviticus, and the book of Hebrews would have been given a lot earlier and would have looked a lot more like the book of Deuteronomy, but without the curses in them. This is our wisdom. This is our understanding. Next week we will return back to our story of Jeremiah and the last kings of Israel, and look at the blessings and the curses, and why Josiah renewed the covenant with the people, even if he was told that the full extent of the curses will happen to the house of Israel. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.
Join me every Tuesday online to discuss this teaching and learn more about Israel's true national identity. Email me at admin@themessianicmessage.com for details.